Aya premera palanaya prema sukha bhoga mukhya prayojanaya. The goal of love of Godhead is not to become materially rich or free from material bondage. The real goal is to be situated in devotional service to the Lord and to enjoy transcendental bliss. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The results of devotional service are certainly not material benefits or liberation from material bondage. The goal of devotional service is to be eternally situated in the loving service of the Lord and to enjoy spiritual bliss from that service. One is said to be in a poverty-stricken condition when one forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to end such a life of poverty in order to automatically end the miserable conditions of material existence. One is automatically liberated from material enjoyment when one tastes the service of Krishna. One does not have to endeavor separately for opulence. Opulence automatically comes to the pure devotee, even though he does not desire material happiness. Om Agyantimidandasya Gyananjanachalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. The king became so dependent on him that in order to satisfy him, he gave him literally all the wealth he could possibly want. Sanatana Goswami was also very deeply learned in the scriptures, and he was a pure devotee of Sri Krishna. When he met with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Ramakeli Dham and received his blessings, Srila Sanatana Goswami left everything behind to seek life's perfection. Unmotivated, uninterrupted loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He went through many difficult times. To achieve the loving service of the Lord is the greatest privilege and the greatest treasure in all of creation. And in order to enter into the realm of pure loving service, one has to pay a price. It is not a material price. The price is we must be willing to sacrifice whatever is unfavorable to that service. One must be willing to accept even whatever inconvenience may come in the execution of that service. Sanatana Goswami, when he delivered his resignation to the king, he was put in prison. And somehow or other, he was able to escape. And he was like a fugitive, running and hiding through the jungles. And finally he came to that holy city of Kashi, Varanasi. And there he met with Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased to see Sanatan Goswami. He embraced him with great affection. And Sanatan began to speak. He said, "My Lord, why are you embracing me? I am so contaminated. I am so low. I am so filled of sins." But Lord Chaitanya, he expressed that I am embracing you for my own purification. Because saints of your quality only remain in this world for the purification of all living beings. Sanatan explained that I am so low, I am so unfortunate, I am so sinful. I beg you, kindly instruct me. Who am I? What is the goal of life? How to achieve the goal of life? People consider me a great scholar, a pundit, but I do not even know the answers to the most basic, essential questions in life. I am suffering the threefold miseries of material existence. Please explain to me how to be liberated from such material sufferings. It was in this mood of great humility and submission that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied to answer his inquiries and reveal to him the highest truths. Although we may have very high education, although we may be situated in great material wealth and influence, still there is suffering. It is the nature of this material existence that whatever endeavors we make to free ourselves from suffering, still we must suffer. And until we understand the process of deliverance from all suffering, it is to be understood that all of our so-called education are just decorative forms of ignorance, avidya. The goal of life is to free oneself from illusion. And we cannot free ourselves from illusion until we humbly present our condition before the great physician of the Supreme Personality of Godhood or his representatives. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with great pleasure, began to speak. He first said, "Sanatan, actually you are already free from this miseries of material existence. You are already a great soul. But it is the nature of a sadhu to make such inquiries out of strictness and humility." This is very wonderful. Those who are in ignorance must ask such questions. And those who are liberated, they still ask such questions. Why? Because before God, no one should think that they are learned. The more we know in spiritual life, the more we realize how much we do not know. The more we realize the inconceivable, unfathomable qualities of Krishna, the more we understand how much we cannot understand the inconceivable, unfathomable glories of Krishna. In ignorance, we may think that the ocean is like the size of our well. Srila Prabhupada used to give the example that the frog was in the well, and the frog's friend came and said that I have seen a great body of water. It is called the Pacific Ocean. And the frog said, is there as much water in the Pacific Ocean as in my well? And he said, you do not understand. It's much bigger than this water in your well. Is it twice as big? Perhaps three times as big? When that frog, if by good fortune, comes to the banks of the Pacific Ocean, then he understands how much he cannot understand the Pacific Ocean. He can understand perhaps a drop. So therefore, great sadhus, they inquire submissively for the benefit of others and out of their natural humility. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to instruct Sri Sanatan Goswami. He explained first the nature of the living entity. The living entity, the source of life in every living being, is the eternal servant of Krishna. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnara Nitya Das. The eternal living entity, the Jivatma, is part and parcel of Krishna. Qualitatively, of the same nature of Krishna, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, but quantitatively only a tiny fragment of Krishna. Just like the ray of a sun emanating from the sun is of the same quality, but always subordinate to the sun. The Lord has inconceivable, unlimited energies, of which three are prominent: the spiritual energy, the material energy, and the tathasta shakti, or the marginal energy. The living entity falls in the category of this marginal energy. By its free will, it may choose to either surrender and be subordinate to the spiritual energy and thus engage in the eternal pastimes of the Lord, or the living entity may misuse his independence and choose to become the servant of the Maya Shakti, the material energy. When that living entity enters into this Maya Shakti, he is cast like in a prison by the three modes of material nature: tamaguna, rajaguna, sattvaguna. And he's forced to toil in forgetfulness of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that knowledge of Krishna, the propensity to serve Krishna, is our eternal constitutional nature. But when we come under the influence of material existence, we forget Krishna and we forget who we are in our relationship. And it is that forgetfulness which is the source of all suffering and all bondage. And the living beings in this material existence try to compete with God, try to enjoy separate from God. And sometimes, due to sinful activities, they are degraded to lower, hellish conditions of life, where there is terrible suffering. And sometimes, due to pious activities, the living entity is promoted to heavenly planets, where there is great, great quantities and immense quality of material satisfaction. In this way, the living entity roams through material existence, sometimes being upgraded to heavenly pleasures, sometimes being degraded to hellish sufferings. But in all situation, he never finds real satisfaction because he is like a stranger in a foreign land, always seeking the pleasure of his real home, but never finding it in any condition with anyone in this material existence. But Krishna is so kind that he comes to this world again and again just to give the knowledge and information by which we can understand our real goal and our real purpose of life. And when a fortunate soul hears from a saintly person about what is Krishna consciousness, then his spiritual life truly begins. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sri Sanatan Goswami that Krishna has given us the Vedic literatures, the Puranas, the Gita, for the purpose of teaching how we can perfect our lives and become free from material existence. And the real devotee of the Lord is one who simply presents the conclusions which have been enunciated by God himself through the Vedic literatures. And the Vedic literatures deal with three basic principles. Mahaprabhu explains to Sanatana Goswami, the first principle is how to establish our relationship with Krishna, sambandha. The next principle is how to act according to that relationship that is our eternal nature. That is devotional service, abhideya. And the third principle is the ultimate goal of life. By engaging in the loving service of the Lord, gradually we become purified from all misconceptions and we attain that state of pure bhakti, prema bhakti, love of God. And this is, as we are reading today, the greatest treasure. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatana Goswami how we should search for this treasure, the real treasure of our heart. He explained that once an astrologer named Saravagya came to a very poor man's house, and the poor man was suffering because he did not have the basic necessities of life. So the astrologer explained that actually you should know that your father, he was a very, very wealthy man, and he left a great treasure just for you. But your father left, he died, and he never informed you where this treasure was. So I have come to tell you. Srila Prabhupada explains that when one is in a suffering condition, oftentimes one becomes very submissive to good advice. When we are too much in a spirit of enjoying and we are too successful in our endeavors, oftentimes we feel that we have our life under our control. And even when we inquire, it is not very submissive. It's more or less as a show how nicely we can inquire. We try to impress people. Sometimes we see people ask philosophical questions just to show the audience how philosophical they are. They really have no much concern to hear the answer. This is not submissiveness. And therefore, our consciousness, our heart, is not fertile to receive the seed of real knowledge. When you're very healthy and you meet a doctor, you may ask, "What's the best thing for me?" And he may say, but you don't take it very seriously. You think, what do I need him for? But when you're sick and you're suffering, you become very humble before your doctor. "Dear doctor, please tell me what is good for me." And then the doctor's words, you are willing to follow. So this poor man was suffering terribly due to poverty. So he was listening very careful to the astrologer. And the astrologer explained that in your own property, there is a great treasure, the best treasure. This treasure will fulfill all of your desires forever. But you must understand where to go to find this treasure. Do not go to the southern side. If you dig in the southern side, wasps and drones will come out of the ground and sting you and bite you and cause you great pain and suffering, and you will never find the treasure there. Lord Chaitanya explained that the southern side is the path of karma kanda. In the Vedic literatures, it explains that by acting very morally, by acting very piously, by performing yajna, by worshiping the various demigods, we can attain great material assets. But Krishna says in Gita, "Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartana arjana mamupeta tukonteya punarajanamana vidyate." That whatever the demigods give you, it's all miserable. Any elevation by the karmakanda process, it is all temporary. It all ends in suffering and death. By engaging in the process of fruitive activity, which is the process of religion that practically 99% of the world follows, there is great suffering. You may get some benefit. Yehi sam sparashaja bhoga dhuka jo naya evate, but it becomes the cause of misery. And this material existence, like drones biting and like wasps stinging, will cause you great pain, and you will be frustrated, and you will have simply have wasted your time. Do not go to the western side. Because in the western side there is a yaksha, a ghost. And this ghost will haunt your mind. This ghost will cause you mental depression, anxiety, and confusion. This is the path of Jnanakanda, the path of speculative knowledge. through speculative knowledge, trying to understand the supreme through our own mental prowess, trying to deliver ourselves from suffering through our own power of discrimination, creates such mental anxiety, such mental depression, such mental confusion and bewilderment. The more you learn, the more you know, but still, we do not taste the sweet nectar we are looking for. And do not go to the northern side, because if you dig in the northern side, what you will find is a big black snake. And this serpent will devour you. First, he will bite you and fill you with poison. Then he will eat you. And he explained that through the process of Astanga Kanda, through materialistic yogic procedures, we endeavor for kaivalya, or liberation. But in that liberated condition and the information we receive through the process, we come under the misconception that we are one with God. We cannot become one with God. God is God. We are eternally subordinate to the Supreme. But when we are under the conception that I am God, then we lose our attitude of service and humility and devotion, real devotion. And it is like poison. And gradually, as we advance through such a process, we lose our we lose consciousness of our individuality. And therefore, we become deeper and deeper and deeper in forgetfulness of our real need and our real desire of loving service. It is like being devoured by a serpent. If you dig just a little bit of ground on the eastern side, there you will find the great treasure. And Lord Chaitanya explains the eastern side is the path of bhakti. Just a little dirt. Because the path of bhakti, although it is the easiest process, it is the most direct, and it is the only means of achieving real knowledge and realization of Krishna. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavamam papadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, of following the various religious principles of the various religions of the world, when one finally comes to the point of real knowledge, one surrenders to Krishna, knowing him to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam told Uddhav that it is not through fruitive activities, not through speculative knowledge, not through any other yogic process, it is only by unalloyed devotion that I can be understood in truth. Krishna cannot be attained by any means, because we are all captured, imprisoned by material conceptions. We are all in a limited state of illusion. But when Krishna is pleased, pleased by our sincere desire to serve, pleased by our willingness to make sacrifice for his pleasure, and for the pleasure of his devotees, then Krishna reveals himself to us. And Srila Prabhupada explains that when Krishna reveals himself to us, automatically we are freed from all material sufferings. There is no need for any extraneous, artificial endeavor. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this example when he was living in Sri Navadvip Dham. He would have kirtan each night at Srivasangam. Srivas was his very intimate, loving devotee. And these kirtans were so beautiful. And the atheistic people, or those who were materially oriented in their religious life, puffed up by their scriptural scholarship, but not understanding the essence of humble devotion, they would criticize the Lord. They would criticize the devotees with so many terrible accusations. And the innocent people, they were all thinking, how unfortunate we are. If we were really pious and we really had pure hearts, then we would be allowed to see the beautiful dancing of the Lord in the house of Srivas. So there was one brahmachari who was like that. He approached Srivas every day and prayed, is there some way, some means I could come in to hear the beautiful kirtan and see the wonderful dancing of Lord Gaurasundar? And Srivas was very sympathetic. You are a pure soul. You have no material aspirations. You have been a brahmachari, following strict brahmacharya throughout your entire life. And not only that, but you perform such intense austerities that you only drink a little milk every day. So Srivas really wanted to help this devotee. It is the nature of a great soul to always be anxious to bring others closer to the lotus feet of the Lord. So Srivas told this brahmachari that I will allow you in my house, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very particular that no outsiders are allowed. So I will have to put you in a secret hiding place where you can secretly look to see his dancing. So he was very happy, very grateful, and he was hiding. And the devotees began to chant, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to dance so beautifully. And this brahmachari was just filled with ecstatic love, thinking that he has achieved the perfection of his life just by seeing the beautiful dance of Mahaprabhu. But then Sri Gaurasundar, he stopped the kirtan. And he became very angry. He inquired, why is it that I do not feel transcendental ecstasy today? Is there someone in this house that should not be here? And Srivas, knowing that you cannot tell a lie before the Lord, he said, my Lord, there are no materialistic people here. There are no envious people here. But there is one brahmachari here. But he's a very good brahmachari. He's been a brahmachari his whole life. He's very austere. He only drinks little milk every day. And he wanted so bad to see your dancing. And Lord Chaitanya, in his transcendental mood, became very furious. And he raised his finger and said, get him out of here. He must leave at once. It is not by performance of tapasya that one can see my beautiful dancing. One cannot achieve Krishna just because one is a Brahmin or a Brahmachari. It is only by pure devotional service. There is no other way. Gajendra was an animal. He was an elephant. But because he surrendered to the Lord with pure devotion, he was able to see the beautiful form of the Lord and attain pure devotional service. Hanuman was a monkey. There are so many examples. Only devotion can attract the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, get him out, or I will rip him to pieces and I will destroy the entire universe. And the Brahmachari began to tremble in fear. And he stood up, and right in front of the Lord and all the devotees, he began to walk outside. And as he was walking, he was thinking, how fortunate I am that I was able to have a glimpse of the Lord's beautiful dancing for a few moments. But due to my offenses, due to my false pride and all my offenses, I am now being punished by the Lord. But still, he's so merciful. He causelessly allowed me to see his beautiful form dancing and chanting in ecstatic love. As unqualified I am, and out of that same mercy, he is now punishing me because of my offensive condition. And with such humility and such gratitude for punishment, he left. But the Lord is seated in everyone's heart, and he could understand the thoughts of this Brahmachari. You see, we can put on a show of being good devotees, but ultimately, Krishna does not judge you from the outside in. He judges you from the inside out. He witnesses your motivations. He hears your thoughts. He examines how genuine and sincere you really are. And in this way, he understands what type of service you are performing. So Lord Chaitanya was very pleased that although he so strictly chastised and criticized this Brahmachari, he did not take offense, but he was very humble. He was very grateful. Therefore, the Lord called him back in. And when the Brahmachari came back in, Lord Gauranga placed his lotus feet on his head. And upon the touch of his feet, the Brahmachari became filled with love of Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "It is not by performance of austerities, it is not by any means except humble devotion that one can know Krishna." And he began to cry in great love, and all the devotees began to offer their respectful obeisances upon seeing the Lord and his mercy upon this devotee. And they all began to offer their obeisances to the Brahmachari for so humbly accepting the Lord's mercy. Shri Shri Radha Rasa Vihari Ji Ki. Lord Chaitanya is describing to Sri Sanatana Goswami here how we must know that the real treasure of life, which is dormant within our hearts, the treasure of Krishna, devotion to Krishna, can only be understood through service to Krishna, through associating with Krishna's devotees, through chanting Krishna's names, through hearing the glories of Krishna from Srimad Bhagavat, from Bhagavad Gita, and by engaging all of our activities in life in Krishna's service. And he explains that Krishna, in the Vedic literatures, Krishna is the central point of all attraction, and his service is our activity. To attain the platform of love of Krishna is life's ultimate goal. Therefore, Krishna, Krishna's service, and love of Krishna are the three great riches of life. Krishna, service to Krishna, and love of Krishna. These are the three treasures that are immortal and which we should all be seeking as the goal of life. Srila Prabhupada so mercifully, so kindly brought this treasure to the whole world, made it available to everyone through the simple process that Lord Chaitanya has given of chanting the holy names in the association of the Lord's devotees. So now, under the guidance of Lord Gauranga, we should follow this path by which the real treasure of life can be found through the kirtan of Krishna's holy names.